for showing up today and letting me talk to you, for not running out. So this last week was a day for our nation, 9/11. It's a day that we'll never forget, right? And let's just pray for the lost and the terrorists real quick. Lord, we just ask that you'd have mercy on the families that lost people at the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and the other airplane that crashed. Lord, we ask that you would be with the people who planned the thing and maybe still running from justice. Lord, please redeem and have mercy on us. In your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, something like 9/11 and Pearl Harbor makes me think there's no going back, you know, to pre-America. There's no way to get that back, right? It's just lost. It's just so tragic. It's an innocence that we'll never regain. And we could set up memorials, you know, and try to redeem it in a sense, but it's still lost. We'll never get those people back. And it's sorrowful. I think about, a divorce. It's like, you'll never get that marriage back. You know, even if you get remarried to the same person, there's always going to be that brokenness. It's maybe you get some healing, but it's still you can't fix that brokenness. You know, it's like in discipleship, we learn that human beings have the capacity to break our capacity, so we can shoot ourselves, and then no longer we'll be able to shoot ourselves. You know, we broke ourselves. We're done. We lose that capacity. And in the same way, you know, we remember Genesis, and that's what we did in the garden. We broke our ability to reflect God rightly. That's gone. We lost it. There's no regaining that. And welcome to church. How can you fix that thing when we're broken? Like, even us being broken, trying to fix it, it's probably going to make it worse, right? Marquita, you've said that before. We're broken people. How can a government ever work properly when broken people are running it, you know? It's like, hello. But we can still try. I mean, yeah, we pray. Yeah. So I've got a lot of scriptures to read. So get your Bibles ready. We're going to go to Romans 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God really dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit which dwells in you. So speaking of baptism, that's the dying to the old self and raising again in Christ. And we call that the Imago Christi. So we used to bear the image of God, Imago Dei. Now, the only way to really bear an image that's righteous is to bear Jesus' image. And I was a little bit confused on whether that meant, you know, do we look like Jesus pre-crucifixion? Or do we look like Jesus post-crucifixion? And talking with Miranda a little bit, talking with Adam a little bit, it's post-crucifixion. Because what Jesus did is he took sin on himself. That's our sin. He died, and then he rose again. And then he comes back with all the holes. He's like, yeah, look, the sin that you guys had, it killed me. But guess what? God rose me up again, and I'm glorified. So we're redeemed. So Christ redeemed. We're not innocent anymore, but we're redeemed. We're whole because the wholeness is now a broken God, you know? It's both death and life because that's what Jesus did. He conquered death and he gave us his life. And so now we just confess that we believe in him. We want to be one with him. And we get that life that he carries. We've already got the death. We don't need that. We've already got that. It's stuck with us. But to get the life, we need to say, Jesus, I want you in me. We can't go back, but we can go forward to the Imago Christi. It's a redeemed image of wholeness, not innocence. So I think about the Twin Towers, and it might be a bad metaphor, but as far as America's concerned, we're going to be broken, you know, as a nation. And quite frankly, this is kind of to the side, but I don't think God cares much about that. I think he cares about our souls as people, not the nation. So in that sense, we are going to see healing. So you ask, how can we bear the image of Christ? What does that look like? And in Christian tradition, it would be a statement of faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. I want him to rule my life, and I trust him. It'd be a confession that he is Lord. And it'd be a baptism, dying to the old self and being raised again new. Let's go to another scripture. Thanks. 1 Corinthians 15. I almost asked for an amen right there because it's so quiet, but why would you say amen to a verse? Amen? All right. Thanks. Amen. We could do that here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. Amen. Thank you. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Lo, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I love that. It's so good. The gospel is that our lives are bound up in Christ. So think about, you know, we think about 9/11, and I'm sure all you guys can remember that day. If not, it's okay. I'm sure all you guys can remember your first feeling of like, I should not have sinned that way. Oh no. I just messed myself up. There's no going back from that. You know, do you guys remember that? It's sad to bring that up, but it's so cool when you bring up the bad news of the gospel, and then you bring up the good news, and it's that much more powerful. Because we know what death feels like in a sense, but we also know what life feels like as a sense, right? We've experienced the forgiveness of the Lord, and it's also going to happen when he comes back even more so. Do you guys remember the feeling of receiving Christ into your heart? You remember that? That redemption feeling, that like, wow, I could just sit here. I feel freedom right now. I don't feel shame or guilt or burdened. I feel good. Wow. You know? And that's because Christ, he's broken and he's alive. He says, I'll take that and I'll give you my life. Hope that's clicking. We'll have a couple more scriptures. All right. 2 Corinthians 5. 17 through 21. Does someone want to stand and read that? 17 through 21. I would love that. All the way to 21.
Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors.
Amen. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Does anyone want to read that one? It's just one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Amen. So we bear the image of Christ, like it says. There's also there's an element that's both now, we are fully married to the Lord, but we're also not quite, you know? Our bodies aren't redeemed. We still sin. And there's a tension there. It's like, okay, so am I totally forgiven for every single sin? And I think a good way to put it is like, we are going to make it. We have an engagement ring, right? Like, we have been promised that he has conquered the sin. It's like, no, I've conquered that sin. So we are going to get married. And then he's like, okay, when I come back, you get the wedding ring. That's a good way to put it, I think, because it's sort of, there's a tension there. Is it now or is it later? Well, it's both. We are and we are not yet fully expressing Christ. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus bore that death. The wages of righteousness is life, and Jesus bears that life. I want to go to John chapter 20. I'll read it. So it's the doubting Thomas. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." This is after the resurrection. But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails in the place, and place my finger in the marks of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." Well, how many of you guys doubt this thing? You know, doubt that Jesus Christ really did lay sin in a grave? Well, there's place for that here, but Jesus shows up 8 days later. His disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Amen. I believe at the second coming, we get to do that. He's going to be like, "I told you so." Like, you could have been living, preaching the gospel, but instead you just thought you were a sinner the whole time, even though I was in your heart. You were baptized. You're dead. You're raised up again. Live like it. You know, you look like me now. Orient yourself towards the Lord, like in a marriage. Okay, if you want to look like your spouse, you orient you toward her. Be toward your wife, even when she's away. You're like, "Oh yeah, no, my heart is towards my wife," and that's what marriage looks like, right? And same way with Jesus, we're supposed to be oriented towards him, and that is being one with him. Amen. It's so true. The devil tries to come in and tell us, like, that the work wasn't done, right? When repentance takes a second. I was talking to Adam last week. I'm like, "Dude, I messed up. And, you know, I only had a day to repent before I had to do a wedding." He's like, "It only takes a second, bro. Not a day." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." It's like, It only takes a second, guys. We're there. The forgiveness is there. It's inside of you. If Christ is living inside of you, if you just are oriented towards him, he is in you. You are one. The righteousness and holiness of Christ is in you. Hallelujah. Come on.
Preach it.
Jesus says, I know a good doctor for your sin. Look at my scars. I'm still alive. Today he says, follow me. Look like me. Don't be afraid of the scars. Let's go to John 21:15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Again, this is post-resurrection. This is after Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus said, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was so grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Another will gird you and carry you to where you do not wish to go. This he said to show by what death he was to glorify God. And after this he said to him, follow me. Jesus goes, this is what's going to happen right here. If you love me, you'll follow me. You'll look like this. And to all of us, the Lord says, you're going to look like this, but follow me. Don't be afraid because my life is in you. It's promised by the Holy Spirit that we will rise again. Amen. So looking like Christ is grounded in being one with him. Look like me, Jesus says. And it's an orientation of our heart. Yes, Lord, I want to be one with you. Yes, I want to do this thing. I want to glorify you. I want to look like you, even if it means loving people till it hurts. Loving people till I got to change my number because they keep calling. You know, that's like so silly. That's first world problems, right? But the point is, are we going to follow Jesus and look like him to the point of death? And I want to tell you guys, yeah, let's do that together. Let's be a church that looks like Christ. We want our lives to say, I am Christ, and Christ is mine. That's like saying, he's got my sin, I've got his righteousness. He's got my sin, I've got his righteousness. And if you guys have ever seen a Mobius strip. So this side right here, I was going to give you guys some note cards and have you write on one side, life, freedom, love, peace, joy. And on the other side, I was going to have you write sin, shame, guilt, loneliness, death, ruin. And I was going to make you just crumple it up, like throw it out. Because those are not on separate sides of the card anymore. If your life is one with Christ, you bear both of them, but that's okay. That's the beauty of what Christ did. He rose again so that we can be broken and still look like God. And so with this Mobius strip, it's like, yeah, if you wear it normal, there's this side is separate from this side. You don't get love. if you've got guilt and shame. But if you attach it this way, it turns into all one side. It's never going to separate. Our sin doesn't scare away the Lord. Our dirtiness, it can't overcome the light that's in us. Because if we say, yeah, the Lord and I are one, then his righteousness is not going to be quenched. Does that make sense? It can't be quenched. Amen. It's so good. It's like, man, I want to get Pentecostal, but I don't know how that looks for me. Yeah. We're promised a future glory, guys. Don't let the sin and death that you feel hide the life that's in you. And that will be in you fully when he returns. He is better than we can know. He loves us more than we know. He is our Savior that we need. Get to know him. He is waiting. And as Romans 6:11 says, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you. Please, we want to look like you. We want to be one with you in a way that changes our lives and changes the world. Lord, we commit ourselves to you today. We claim your life and your law. We also we accept that you died for our sins and that they are dead. Lord, please come quickly. The suffering is not easy, but we know we still look like you, even in the suffering. To your glory, Jesus. Amen.